Good morning, Power Hour Nation. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Oh, excuse me. Oh, where did that come from?
Oh, that snow.
Yeah, it's snowing here right now. It's pretty. It's actually really pretty. I mean, 6 months of it, I'd get tired, but today it's pretty.
It is.
Great broadcast, an important broadcast. Second hour, John Whitehead from Rutherford Institute will be here. His new article about the deep state, about this whole push, the second Patriot Act for domestic terrorism. What is this? We're going to ask him about it and many other things on the other side. I'm going to ask him about the Texas case in the Supreme Court. See if he feels like me. I don't know. Most lawyers don't, but most lawyers I have very little use for.
Yeah, they're useless.
Well, if you
they
care about
you.
If you care about the liberty, yeah. You care about the Bill of Rights. I had a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, and this was a friend of mine. This is a decent, good, not decent, good guy. This is a real American, real patriot.
Patriot? And he's a lawyer?
No, maybe I overextended. He was sympathetic towards America. But I asked him about the Bill of Rights. He told me flat out, the Bill of Rights does not matter in court anymore.
That's right, doesn't.
Well, that's what he told me.
Yeah. Well, he's right.
Well, that's why I say that about lawyers, is why I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
No, he's not right, but they're trying to make him right. Sheriff Mack, he's on hold. He's going to come on.
Yeah.
You want a solution? We've been talking about solutions, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
If you've heard me before on this, you know, very interesting things are happening. Things are speeding up. They're speeding up for Sheriff Mack, too. There's a lot of dynamics going on. We got to tread carefully. We got to walk a fine line, and we got to walk towards the truth. Sheriff Mack's here to help us differentiate some of this. So he'll be along in just a second. Of course, Uncle Kevin, as you can hear. Welcome, Uncle Kevin. Good morning.
Another great day in America, and I'm excited to have Sheriff Mack on. I love him.
Yeah, absolutely. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Communists?
Yeah, communists. Yeah, you're a communist.
You got to be a communist if you don't like Sheriff Mack.
You run from Sheriff Mack.
Yeah. He sends the communists on the run. Yeah, Sheriff Mack is
right.
Here.
He's like a cross to the vampires.
He's holy water. Holy water to the communists.
It's excellent. We need somebody on the front line, I'll tell you. And he's been on it a long time. God
absolutely.
Bless him.
Let's get to some news. Some golly, I got a frog in my throat.
It's all that
important
snow.
Stories. Go ahead. Hank Aaron.
Wow. Oh, Hank Aaron. Oh, gosh. You screwed me up there. Baseball legend Hank Aaron dies 2 weeks after receiving coronavirus vaccine during public stunt. Boy, they have really shut that story down. I mean, you heard that he died, but you didn't hear that he died from taking his second shot of coronavirus 2 weeks after, you know?
Hank Aaron, they came to him and they said, black people don't want to take vaccines.
That's exactly
and don't want to take this COVID. He said, well, I'll be happy to.
I'll be proud.
I'm Hank Aaron. I'm hammering Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
He is. Everybody, who doesn't like Hank Aaron? And so he said, got quoted, this is going to help zillions of people. I'm happy to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dead 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later, he's dead.
And this is fantastic. I'm so excited to do this. The Merck company.
Oh, yeah.
Merck company.
Big story.
They've decided to scrap the coronavirus vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's a gene mutation therapy. But
totally.
That's another story. They've totally scrapped the effort to come up with a quote-unquote vaccine.
You can't do it. They said you can't do it.
Said it, and it's not even effective.
No, it's not even effective.
Ladies and gentlemen,
they've been trying since the 70s to do it, and haven't come up with it.
If you read between the lines, and not even between the lines, if you just put these stories together, we try to put them together for you. They're telling you, certain people in their positions, Merck is telling you, the vaccine is not as effective as herd immunity, and herd immunity is obtained by getting the virus and then and then overcoming it.
And overcoming it.
They're telling you this. They're also telling you if you're elderly and you have Schedule A diseases, diabetes, what have you, heart disease, don't get the virus. There have been people in the medical community that have said that. When you go, if you're elderly, what I'm hearing, some friends of friends have said they were laying the story to me. They said they went down there to get the vaccine. Well, she's got heart disease. She's got cancer on chemo. He has heart disease. He says to them, did they ask you if you have any problem? Did you have to show your ID? Okay, they know how old you are. They didn't ask you if you had any other
underlying problems?
Any underlying problems? They didn't ask you any? Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. They just said, come back in a couple weeks and get to know her. We're so excited.
Yeah, roll up your sleeve. Gosh. Roll up your sleeve.
Okay. I mean, people can do what they want, but here's what I'm saying. People are not getting consistent, accurate information.
Right.
Okay. Merck has scrapped it, so it doesn't work.
Is that on TV?
No.
No.
They've warned, they've also warned pregnant women or women who may become pregnant.
That's right.
Should not
take
the vaccine. Okay. This has been put out not by the Power Hour. This has been put out by the Big Pharma. Mm. Elements of Big Pharma have said what I'm telling you. Is that anywhere?
No.
When you go get the vaccine, does anybody say that?
No, absolutely not.
If you're elderly and have a underlying condition,
mm-hmm.
you might want to not
think
get
again.
It.
You might as well think again.
Allergies.
Allergies.
And what does that mean? You know, Wayne Elliott asked a question. What does that mean? Does that mean hay fever? Does that mean peanut? What does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah, absolutely.
What it means is they don't know. If you got allergies, people are dying.
That's exactly what that doctor told me when they stick it in your arm. It's like an explosion and they have no idea. What it'll do. No idea what that vaccine will do.
The video from David Martin, PhD, is up on the website. This is an important, muy importante for our Spanish friends. Muy importante video from David Martin.
We're probably going to have lots of them as neighbors pretty soon.
Who?
Our Mexican friends.
Oh, because they're at the border.
They're at the border. There's a gajillion on the way.
They're chanting Biden.
They are.
I don't even want to. See, I'm trying to be happy.
Okay.
okay, you know from yesterday that on CDC, we were going along at a good clip here, and you totally derailed the train. The CDC changed their website. Don't ever forget this. They used to say vaccines do not cause autism. They lost the lawsuit, and now they do not say that. They've changed it. They can't say that anymore. That is a false claim. They have no facts to back that up.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. Turn snitch and get rich. Texas teen gives his own dad into the FBI, pays his way through college. He's gotten up to $87,000 because he turned in his father because he went to the demonstrations on January 6th in Washington.
What a low life.
How do you turn in your father?
How do you turn in your father? Yeah.
For anything. I mean, unless it's like
murder.
Child molestation or, you know, something like that. I mean,
yeah.
Going to Washington. I mean, you want to know what the problem is? You know, you say, well, the schools, you know what happens at the schools? This is what they turn into.
They turn into snitches.
You want to know what they turn into? School service?
Yeah.
This is it.
Snitches.
Do you know who the highest paid employee in the federal government is?
I do.
Who?
He looks like a rat.
A little bit. Yeah, I can see that. Go ahead, tell everybody.
Fauci.
Fauci is the highest paid employee in the whole federal
mm-hmm.
government. Mitt Romney claims truth and justice require Senate to hold impeachment trial against Trump.
Good. I hope he impeaches him. I hope he does. There will be justice in this country.
Biden repeals Trump ban on military funding for sex reassignment surgeries.
Oh. They're going to be lining up now. Everybody in on the planet is going to be coming in to join up.
Now, I'm going to say this. It has nothing to do with my feelings about Harriet Tubman, and it has 100% to do with my feelings on Andrew Jackson. Before Trump got in, they were fast-tracking, and they were going to get rid of Andrew Jackson from the $20 bill and put Harriet Tubman.
Oh, they were, yeah.
And Trump stopped it. It's completely.
Lights out.
Biden is now working to replace Andrew Jackson with Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill.
I heard that.
Just like that.
Bang.
Eric Holder urges Dems to pack the Supreme Court.
Of course.
There you go. Anything else you want to say before we get to Sheriff Mack?
Wait a minute.
All right.
One more.
Today, Junior.
Does Ghislaine Maxwell tries to get charges dropped by claiming jury was too white. I think she's got a very good case of with Biden in the president.
It makes perfect sense.
With these judges. Yeah,
with these
judges, she's got a very good chance of getting out.
Well, if you go to social justice training for 12 years in school, then go to college, more social justice training, then you get out, then you get a job, then you're a judge, and then you go, and then that makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense. And I predict.
That's how America goes.
Within 6 months, she'll be out.
Well, we'll see. Our first guest is I don't throw the word hero around a lot, but, you know, we love Sheriff Mack. I mean,
anybody that can beat the Clintons.
Very famous in the mid-90s, the case, the Brady bill trying to force sheriffs to basically de facto gun control in a certain way. He fought it. The case that came out of it, Scalia, the majority opinion, the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of a county. This is exceptional. He eventually led to starting the CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. He's the founder, president, whatever, the chief potentate. He is the man. He is the man running against the barbed wire.
Yes.
We are so happy to have him, and we have a lot to talk about. Sheriff Mack, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thanks, you guys, and thanks, Daniel. I sure appreciate it. You guys are pretty funny sometimes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, sometimes we are. Yeah.
Wait, you guys, are you sitting down?
Yes, we are.
Because I have a blow completely your mind away announcement.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. I'm going to take the COVID vaccine.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait. I'm not finished.
Okay.
Right after both of you do.
Well, you better start. I've already had mine.
We take them like candy.
Yeah,
over here.
Exactly. We're strong as a horse.
I had COVID. I got it bad right before Christmas, and it was bad. And I thought I was dying. I'm not kidding.
Did you get on supplements and things like that, or what is it?
Yeah, I was doing doctor group stuff, and I called him, and he called me every day. He was really great. In fact, sometimes he called me twice a day. And then somebody from Texas, and I think it was Mark Collins, George Washington, referred me to a doctor out of Texas, and she called out here to a local pharmacy and got me a prescription for hydroxychloroquine.
There you go.
And I took every bit of it, every bit of it. And then I even got a little bit more from my cousin who had some left over from some she had it for. It wasn't for COVID. If she gets COVID, she probably will die. She's really poor health. But I'm not kidding you. I was way sick. I had a symptom that I've never heard about. I had extreme vertigo. I was so dizzy,
really?
I couldn't even hardly stand up. And it was really hard to just either get out of bed or get out of my chair.
Wow.
And I don't know where that came from, but I had that for about 3 days. Even when I was lying down, it still affected me. The whole room and house were just spinning like crazy. I've never experienced that kind of dizziness, but that I do believe the disease is real. Whoever says that it's a farce and it was made up, no, the disease is real. However they fabricated it or made it come to be or who did it and why, I'm not into that. All I'm saying is it's real. Have they fabricated the numbers? Of course. In fact, there's a guy by the name of J.D. Ball out here in Arizona that's suing the Arizona Department of Health to have them document and verify their statistics regarding the coronavirus. And guess what? They won't do it. They wouldn't give him the information. Even when he filed a FOIA, they wouldn't give him the information. And so he's suing them now.
Wow.
And you would think the state of Arizona would want to be, you know, transparent, and we have nothing to hide. So this is our statistics, and this is how we got them, and they won't do it.
I'm laughing right now. Transparent in government. It's funny. We got important things to talk about. Now, the last time you were on, this was on the heels of the meeting in Virginia.
Yes.
The listeners supported you there. You talked a little bit about how that went. What has happened since? It seems like there's a lot of momentum building. What is happening in the nation with this concept with CSPOA, constitutional sheriffs? What is going on? Give us a picture.
Well, COVID, one of the silver linings of COVID is that it's really got sheriffs moving because of the abuse. And so many times people want to return to the Constitution. if they're being abused and oppressed. That's what it is. That's what gets people, oh, gosh, I need help. Gosh, wouldn't it be nice if our governors and public officials followed the Constitution? Then the sheriffs see people being shut down, arrested for not wearing a mask. And we just had that happen in Riverside, California, of a sheriff I had listed as a decent, for California, a very decent constitutional sheriff. And his name's Sheriff Bianco. And his deputies arrested a lady, and Peggy Hall put this out, and so you can look it up and see it. It was all on video. They arrested a lady outside the store for not wearing a mask. I think she was in the store earlier, but the owner of the place or the manager called the police. The deputies showed up, about five of them, arrested the lady, and arrested the lady that was filming it.
And, for what? Why did they arrest the lady for filming it? For what?
Embarrassing them and yelling at them.
I mean, what's the charge? Obstruction of justice. I mean, that's their catch-all charge, obstruction of justice.
Well, either that or disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
It's going to be disorderly conduct. And so it was really pathetic. It was really out of line. Peggy just went crazy on her podcast about it. And she says, this is it. This is the final straw for me. I've had it with these people. And I feel the exact same way, and I'm trying to contact her to see how I can help, because I'm really fed up with anybody in law enforcement. I don't care if it's a sheriff. I don't care who it is. If you're arresting people for not wearing a mask, you're an idiot. You're anti-American. You're anti-liberty. You're a pro-communist sympathizer. And anybody that will enforce laws of tyranny and injustice is just the opposite of what we do at the CSPOA, but you're also the opposite of American ideals. You're the opposite of our Constitution and the foundation of America. And any cop, deputy, I don't care who you are, patrol officer, chief of police, or sheriff, if you think so low of America that you could arrest somebody because they didn't follow an order from the likes of one Governor Newsom, you're on Newsom's side on that? So we're still trying to get a hold of the sheriff, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, and maybe he didn't know they did it, and he's now disciplining them and getting them retrained. But we're trying to get a hold of Sheriff Bianco and find out. You said you were going to be against this sort of stuff, and you weren't going to enforce Newsom's mandates. So we got to follow up on this. But, you know, you're still responsible for what your deputies do.
Before you go a little further, let me go back and ask a couple. I think are important questions to this debate. This debate obviously is happening all over the country on local level and state levels too. What is a police officer, say Johnny Q, police officer, what is he supposed to do when his chief of police says, you're going to be arresting people for masks, when the governor says, you're going to be arresting people for... I mean, he's kind of put in the middle of a vice. What is he supposed to do? How would you handle that? How would you recommend he handles it?
He should be making his voice known. And he should be at briefings and saying, really, this is what we signed up for? We're supposed to enforce the law. This isn't even a law. And so what do we charge people with? You know, what's the statute? And, you know, when I write them or cite people in, I've got to write the crime they committed. What am I supposed to do? They should be pushing back very tactfully, but he should also be talking near the water fountain or soda pop machine with the other officers and saying, is this really what we're about? I thought we were supposed to be helping people, and we're already releasing so many prisoners with real felony records. They're getting released so we can arrest non-mask wearers?
All right, let me play the other side. Let's just go back and forth here. No, you're not here to help people, Officer Johnny Q. You're here to exercise the law and do what you're told.
Well, aren't those laws designed to help people? you know, and
yes, it is. Yes, it is helping people, Sheriff Mack. It is helping. It's keeping them safe. We got to keep them safe. This is what the governor says, and this is what we're doing.
Well, in America, I thought people could make their own choices, and we were here to preserve that right. And the Declaration of Independence says that the only purpose that government has been established, quote, is to secure these rights. Secure the rights.
Are you
people.
A constitutionalist, Officer?
No,
Johnny?
I just looked it up once when I first was a rookie cop, and I looked that up, and you know, I swore an oath. Well, you say constitutionalist. Are we not all supposed to be constitutionalists? We all swore an oath when we took our jobs to uphold and defend the Constitution. Doesn't that presuppose that we know what the Constitution says?
Well, you're being a little extreme. I mean, people need to be safe. You're endangering people. You're endangering people with this kind of attitude, Officer Johnny. You need to check yourself. This is a real problem.
Well, Chief, let me say, don't you think it's a little bit extreme to arrest people for not wearing a mask? Isn't that a personal choice?
Well,
we're
not here to make these, Officer Johnny, we're not here to make these judgments. We're just here to do what we're told in the law. The governor says to arrest them, we're going to arrest them. See, it goes in a circle. I mean, he goes in a circle. That's their.
Yeah, and look what they're doing to Newsom. They're recalling him now because people are sick and tired of it. And not only that, did you hear, Chief? There's just an article out this morning about Carlsbad, California. The city council putting it out that they're not going to go along with Newsom's ridiculous orders anymore.
Carlsbad, California?
Carlsbad, wow. California. Excellent. Look it up for yourself, Chief.
Wow, that is important, Chief. Oh, we're still role-playing. Oh, yeah. Well, you're just a real smart-ass, aren't you?
Well, you know, kind of like Patrick Henry, yes, I am.
Well, yeah, you've been reading. You're one of those reading officers. Yeah. You know, you said an important thing. And, Todd, let's cancel the break. Is that okay? Do you need a break, Sheriff, or can we just go straight through?
It's up to you guys. I don't care.
Let's go. Let's roll. No break, Todd. Is that okay, Todd? Do you hear me? Okay, got it. You mentioned something I think is very important. You said this is not a law. Where is the quote-unquote legal authority that gives them the right to arrest somebody for not wearing a mask? Where do they say it is? And let's talk about what the reality is.
They're just saying governor mandates, and that he has emergency powers under the state either constitution or laws, annotated laws of the state. And I agree. Most governors have some emergency powers. However, those usually are timed out at 3 months. And the governor just keep extending them and extending them and extending them. But let's look at also the destruction of the work that we have to do because of the destruction of COVID mandates. Suicides are up exponentially. Family fights are up exponentially. Juvenile delinquency is up exponentially.
Drug use.
Divorce.
Drug abuse. And child abuse. Are all up, and we're paying the price for that as peace officers. Officer shootings are up since all this has happened.
All right, I agree with you. Let's not get off the point, the authority. Now, we're seeing health departments making – now, here near where I live, there's the biggest city that's close here. The health department made a mandate on the masks. And I talked to a lawyer in town that's talked to the police and what have you. I talked to a lawyer, and they told me flat out there is no enforcement mechanism in this health department mandate.
They have no law enforcement authority. That is correct.
Okay. So if a health department gives a mandate, there is zero legal lawful authority. There is, I think where it gets a little confusing. Not confusing, but where the issue is clouded. If a governor says, okay, we have an emergency, we have a pandemic, even though the death numbers are not greater than last year, that's another note, but okay. This is an emergency order. You have to wear a mask under these emergency orders. Let's dissect that argument.
Well, yeah, and as a matter of fact, I question the timing of this pandemic. I question politically how it was seemingly aimed at Trump and his reelection possibilities, because we haven't done this for any other disease or problem. For almost a half million Americans have died in the last 10 years from opioid abuse or use and overdoses. 500,000 in just 10 years. We didn't shut down opioid industry. We didn't make people stay home. We didn't force people to do this or that, or shut down sports, or shut down Disneyland, or anything else. We didn't go to doctors in this country that prescribe these like candy and say, don't do that anymore, or, you know, we need you guys to document this a little bit better, or you can only give two of these prescriptions out, then after that you can't do it anymore. How do we stop doctor shopping from these addicts of opioids? Who okayed opioids for America? Actually, the bottom line is Congress did, because Congress oversees FDA, and the FDA authorized the use of these opioid drugs. Horrible. Yet we cause a problem, and we don't do anything about it. We didn't do anything about this except talk. We also have obesity, alcoholism, smoking that causes about 1 million deaths a year. We haven't even made smoking illegal. Why are we going after people on the coronavirus?
Great question.
And why do we shut down industry and destroy the economy, cause food lines and paper lines, you know, for toilet paper and paper towels? We caused all of that, and yet we really haven't changed. There's no evidence that wearing a mask has even done any good. But the bottom line on masks is, do we have the authority, constitutional authority, lawful authority, to force people to wear such a thing?
Do we?
And there
That's
is
the question.
No authority. And my Supreme Court case even bears that out. The statistical analysis of any law, the benefit or burden of any law, says right there in the order of the court from the Supreme Court, weighing the burdens or benefits of any law is unnecessary. Such commands are fundamentally incompatible with our constitutional system. That's what my Supreme Court decision says. It was all about overreach, and that people can't get that and say, no, government can persuade. They can teach me. They can motivate me, but they cannot force me. They can reason with me, but they cannot force me, and they certainly can't arrest me. And we haven't even talked about the horrible things they've done to pastors and churches in this country yet.
All right, so let's put a stamp on this. So your court case, it doesn't, this idea, let's, if we're debating whether a mask is good or not, it's irrelevant. Legally, it's irrelevant. Not, you know, if you want to have one or not, that's obviously a decision for you.
Right. That's
legally,
another issue.
It's irrelevant because it doesn't matter. You don't, the government does not have the right to, whether they think it's good for you or not, to force you to do something as trivial as wear a mask. You have to wear a mask.
What I wear on my face, yeah. What I wear on my face, government is now in charge of that. Come on.
I mean, it's insane. And it's unconstitutional. So any order on his face, I mean, Marbury versus Madison still holds sway in the Supreme Court. Your case delineates this even further. Anything that's unconstitutional is null and void. So if a governor makes an order, just to be clear for this, it is null and void. Now they can try, that's called tyranny. Now where the line is drawn, where people are making inroads, and I got an example we can talk about, but you know this way better than I do. Sheriffs all across the country are now saying, that's it, we are not doing this. I don't care what you say, we are not doing this. Talk about that environment. Talk about what sheriffs are doing like that.
Well, you just said the key word, tyranny. Thomas Paine said, tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. That's where the sheriffs have got to recognize what's going on. This is tyranny. Are we going to be like Thomas Paine said? Are we going to be Britain with its army to enforce her tyranny? The sheriffs of this country and every peace officer in this country has a decision to make. Will I be today's redcoats and enforce tyranny against the American people? Or will I keep my oath and put liberty first in the execution of my job and protect the people from all enemies, both foreign and domestic? Will I protect the people from tyranny? And another thing Jefferson said is that laws are just but the will of tyrants. And so I'm going to enforce, if this were a law that we were talking about earlier, Daniel, if it were a law, would I enforce it then? No. Just like you said, quoting Marbury versus Madison, it's null and void on its face because it's so obviously unconstitutional and against the principles of liberty that I promise to uphold and defend. So I can't enforce it even if the California legislature passed this. It doesn't make any difference. It's still null and void. It just has less color of law because it comes from a dictator, a self-appointed dictator in Sacramento or wherever the state capital is of what state you're talking about.
Right,
I do not side with tyrants, and I don't enforce tyranny.
Let's talk about county. You know, let's talk about brass tacks for our audience. I mean, there is when the election went the way it did, Biden was installed or whatever, usurped the position, whatever word you want to use, whatever. There was a great fear that went across people, mass mandates, but also now vaccine mandates are starting to come into view. Talk about on a local level, a sheriff, the authority a sheriff has. Let's say the federal government says everybody has to get a vaccine. What is the sheriff's rightful authority, rightful place? What should a good constitutional sheriff do if that happens?
Well, he should be taking a preemptive strike on that. He should not wait until the National Guard is at your door or you're forced to take some document or whatever it has to do with any type of tyranny from the government regarding a forced vaccination. Even coercion, where they don't tie you down, hog tie you, and put in the injection inside your body against your will, which some police departments already do regarding DUIs. They'll tie you down and take your blood by force. Even against your will, they'll do that. So we already know that there's some inclined to do this type of thing, which has got me scared and worried. And however, the sheriff, as I said, should do a preemptive thing and send a letter, call, emails to all health department officials and all other local officials and state officials and bureaucracies and the governor and said, look, just so you know, I'm really trying to help with this coronavirus thing, but just so you know, I'm not going to allow anybody to be forced to be vaccinated. This is not the eugenics of Nazi Germany of World War II. We're not going to allow that.
Okay. How would that conversation go? I mean, what would the health officials...
It would just simply go like this. If you come into my county to force that, I will take action against you.
What does that mean? Arrest them? What does that mean?
Well, you want to leave that open. You don't want to be real specific, just like I did with the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA and like Sheriff Rogers did with the FDA when they came in his county. He threatened to arrest him. I threatened to arrest the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA because they were exceeding their authority in my county and didn't discuss it with me first. But there's other sheriffs that have had
When you say that, I think this is important because this goes, there's a lot of ABC, EPA, FDA,
right.
FBI, there's a lot. Okay,
right.
So let's clarify that for all those organizations. When they come into a county, they're supposed to talk to you first if you're the sheriff. Is that correct?
There's no law that says they have to. But
okay.
There's a gentleman's agreement that they should. And a lot of them will say, oh, look, I have authority from, I have jurisdiction from Maine to Hawaii and every place in between. And say, well, in five different categories you do, and those are very limited, discrete, and enumerated in the Constitution. You only have five law enforcement authorities. Anything outside that, you better check with me.
And what are those five things? What are those? I mean, now you got me curious.
There's five law enforcement authorities granted to the federal government. Okay, the state government has a little bit more. So if my fight is against the state government, which most of these are now, but I think it's going to be federal very soon under Biden. And just simply put it this way: I am the sheriff, the elected sheriff, and the people's protector in this county. I will not allow anyone to be forced to be vaccinated. I have a posse ready to go to help me with this. Everyone's going to be notifying me. Do not come into this county and pretend that you're going to vaccinate people without their permission. I will not allow that. I will take action against you to prevent that. And,
so you don't go control?
Any bigger threats. You don't need to go any bigger threats, but just to let them know. And say, hey, I'm willing to sit down with you and discuss this in person. Let's have a luncheon over and get all the agencies together, just so we're all on the same page. But he needs to also have that conversation with the other chiefs of police in his jurisdiction so that they're all on the same page.
And tell them the same thing.
Yes. Do not. I'm not going to allow this anywhere in the county. If I have to cross into your city to do it, I will. But I want you guys. And he needs to tell them. I hope you guys are on the same page with me here, because I'm going to do this for everybody who votes for the county sheriff. That's everybody in those cities, and they can't deny that.
Okay. What if they say? Because I've had some of these discussions. I've had all kinds of discussions over the past year or two,
yeah,
or whatever.
Of course.
Sheriff doesn't have any authority in the city. I have authority here in the city. He needs to mind his
own
business.
Then why do all your people in your city vote for me? Everybody votes.
Well, they voted
sheriff.
For the mayor, and the mayor appointed me. I'm just telling
you
this conversation.
That's all he got, right? But his constituents all voted for me, and if they come to me and want my help, I will help them.
Okay,
in my jurisdiction.
All right, let's run this through. I'm in XYZ city, and somebody comes, knocks on the doors. It looks like your vaccination records aren't up, or something simple. I saw you at the grocery store. You did not have a mask. You're going to have to come with us, sir.
Right.
And I call up you, if you're the sheriff of county, I call up you. Sheriff Mack, I got people, the police department here is at the door. And they're telling me I'm about to be arrested because I don't have a vaccine or I need to get a vaccine right now. What would you do in that situation?
Well, hopefully we have some deputies in the area and we'll send them immediately there. A quick response on that is going to be vital. But if they disobeyed me on that, and after I already gave them the email notification or letter notification, certified letter probably better, so then I got a return receipt that they got it. So so we go and we do the doctrine of interposition, and we say, hey, I'm telling you right now that you better leave here, and if you don't leave, I'm going to arrest you for trespass, disorderly conduct, whatever else. If it goes that far, I'm telling you right now, as many times as sheriffs have had that situation, it's never come down to a physical arrest, and it certainly has never turned to violence.
What if somebody was already arrested?
That.
What if somebody was in jail and then their wife called you? Sheriff Mack, they just arrested my husband because he wouldn't take a vaccine. He's in jail right now.
Right. And so I would do, if probably that would be mean that they're in my jail. So I'm not going to let them come in my jail in the first place. And there was already a sheriff that's done that, but it was way before this. He said, if you arrest anybody for mere possession of a gun, I will not allow them to be put in my jail. You'll have to take them to the jail an hour away, because you're not going to arrest people for that and put them in my jail. So the sheriff is the jailer for the county.
Okay, so then they'll say, fine, we'll just take them to the next jail. The sheriff won't step in and say, no, you need to release them. Would you force them to release them?
I would certainly do that, like Sheriff Nick Finch did in Florida, where someone was arrested for, just like I said, merely for having a gun in his pocket. Well, he released him. He released him from the jail. And then they ended up arresting the sheriff.
Who did?
The state.
Okay.
Yeah, they arrested him. But then I went out to his trial. So so this is what the sheriff got. He got back pay, attorney fees, and found not guilty. So the sheriff ultimately totally won. And so anyway.
That's important. I mean, that's important because these sheriffs, they got to feel like they're going to have support.
That's where we come in. Because the CSPOA, our promise that's on our new pamphlet, our promise to peace officers and sheriffs all across this country is, if you ever get into trouble for upholding and defending the Constitution, we have your back. And we will be ready to help you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know you hear this. I know there's very few things I ask you to do. I've asked you to consider getting your kids out of public school. I've asked you to do that. I've asked you to pray. I've asked you to, you know, several things. The very few, though, that have really pushed you to do. I'm asking you again. You want to do something? You say you're Christian and you're just going to sit there and bury your Bible if they tell you can't read or whatever, and you want something to do. Now, I'm talking to you seriously. You're not sure what you can do. You're a grandma. You know, what can I do?
Okay.
You can support Sheriff Mack, his mission, and CSPOA. If you want to maintain freedom, if you want liberty to be shining in these local areas, I mean, we see where the national, forget it. God Almighty, just forget it. Go to your local sheriff and support him. Do you see the mission and see what the power of this is? You want the Constitution enforced. You don't have to drain the swamp. You just have to get the sheriff on board. That's all you have to do. One person.
Right.
One person. That is it. And the CSPOA then backs them up and teaches them and helps them do it. I don't know of anything more important for our liberty right now on a logistic kind of systematic kind of way is this. There's nothing. Sheriff, go ahead and you add to, take away for whatever I just said right there.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Army or National Guard. I think they're going to try to solicit the help from local officials. They're going to try to get the local police departments and sheriff's offices to do this for them. I think the dish to deliver the stuff might be Army like it is right now. Why they ever assigned it to the Army, I'll never know. But anyway, they did. And it's really sad that they did. But if this is going to happen, and that tyrannical officer knocks on your door, he's probably going to be wearing, or she, a local uniform. And so that's why we got to get these people educated, and that's why we're having our convention next month in Texas, right outside Houston in Montgomery County. Sheriff Henderson co-sponsoring this for us. And this is to get people educated, to get the sheriffs and deputies educated. That's what we're doing. And I promised you before that we're going to be doing these much more often. We want to do one at least every month. I did one this past week in Washington State. It wasn't big enough. We need to get them bigger and better advertised. But the one in Houston, right outside Houston in Montgomery County, is going to be well advertised, well attended. And this is going to be it's going to be probably bigger than the one we had in Virginia on September 30th. And many of your people were so kind and generous in helping us make that happen financially. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need to double that for this one because this one's going to be twice as big. We're already getting the interest. We trained 75 sheriffs and public officials in Virginia. Now we're doing it in Texas, and we're going to have double that. I think we're really going to close to 150. We already have two judges that have agreed to be there, agreed to talk. They're ready.
Wow.
This is the first time ever that we've had judges.
That
we're already
huge.
Having numerous sheriffs. We've got a couple of chiefs of police. This is going great guns. I'm just asking your audience, our supporters, people that supported us last time, I need you to lengthen that this time. We've got to do this bigger and better and faster. And I'm sorry, but we're paying for the hotel of everybody that comes. We're charging $100 a person just to attend to help defray some of the costs, but that's going to be very minimal. We're trying to make this as easy as possible without going bankrupt for everyone to attend. We're paying for the airfare and hotel of the speakers, but a lot of them live close by, like the judges, also a state senator, and two different sheriffs that are really close by. A detective in another agency is on our speaker list, a lady detective. And so it's already coming together. It's February 26th and 27th at the Woodlands in I think the city is Conroe. I know that's the county seat where the sheriff lives. But Sheriff Rand Henderson is doing this with us. He's inviting all the other sheriffs from the state of Texas to attend. And we love when sheriffs get so involved with this. The answer is real. The solution is real. This is effective and peaceful, Daniel, as you know. And we're not going to change that. And having them interpose and stand in the way and protect you from what's coming And to have these sheriffs educated and ready to stand as constitutional sheriffs is what we've dedicated our life to. I quit teaching school. I don't have a job anymore.
Well, your job is saving America. You got a job, buddy, and it's helping to save America.
That is my job. That is my mission. You're right. And so if people want to help, if you want a constitutional sheriff in your area, if you want these conferences to come to your state, please help us do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's about 3,143 sheriffs, give or take, in America. Okay, he just trained 75. He already had a group. He's going to train to 150 now. You know, you start doing the math. The ones that come, and then you could probably double or triple that are being influenced by this, that are sympathetic, what have you, and then the message spreads. So you're talking, I mean, you do the math. You're talking 25% of the sheriffs in America here real quickly have been touched and moved and are sympathetic and are getting support and are getting this doctrine and are starting to understand this and starting. Do you start to do the math, ladies and gentlemen? Do you see how important this is? I mean, I don't know what else is more important on a liberty-wise that's going on. I am begging you again. I will get on my hands and knees and beg you yet again. Open up your pocketbook. Make a sacrifice. Please support Sheriff Mac, CSPOA.org. Do you have a phone number people can donate?
Yes, 602-268-9268. Real number, real easy number to remember. 602-268-9268, or just donate at CSPOA.org. There's an address there, P.O. Box 567, Higley, Arizona, 85236. Send a check, gold, silver, cash, we don't care, whatever you can do. And that's, again, whatever you can do.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you got $5, then donate $5. If you think you can donate $500, then donate $1,000. I'm serious.
Yep. And there were some people that did that. And you know, one lady, we said send check, gold, or silver, and she sent all three. She sent a piece of gold, a piece of silver, and a check.
All the above.
Yes, she did. How much time do we have? I got something I got to show you here.
Well, we got a caller. I want to get their question really quick. Go ahead.
I got a notice from our assistant that left a message at Sheriff Bianco's office, and his assistant guaranteed that Sheriff Bianco would call me back. So we'll see.
That's one in California.
I just got the text. I'm reading the text
very
right now.
Good.
Yes.
Do you see who is protecting America? Who's on the front lines here, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. On some level, you don't care about Washington. What you care about is your local community.
People have
and what's
always
going
said,
on.
Why doesn't somebody do something about this? Well, we
this
are.
Is it. This is it.
Yeah,
this is it. Chad in North Carolina, quickly, your comment, question for the great Sheriff Mack.
Yes, sir. My question is in the neighboring county, from where I live, they have the mayor came out in the paper a few weeks ago that they were going to train officials to check businesses to see if they were over occupancy. I think this is something to do with the social distancing policy. And if they were over a certain number of people, then they would be fined. These businesses fined $100 a head.
Well,
Why can't the sheriffs arrest these public officials for breaching the oath of office?
They can. Most of them aren't going to try to make arrests. That's the last thing we want to do, is if we can get them to comply and get them educated and fall in line. That's why I said I want the sheriffs to discuss all of this with the chiefs. But we already have, and one of the speakers is a former sheriff, and now she's a detective, but she actually arrested local officials for corruption. We have got to, and at our convention, we're going to push doing investigations on local officials a lot more, because you're absolutely right, caller. We have got to hold people accountable when they violate the law. I don't care where they come from.
Hey, thank you, Chad. We just got a couple minutes. Sheriff Mack, okay, county commissioners basically make the budget for sheriffs. County commissioners' role, what's their role in all this? Making resolutions, making ordinances, making proclamations?
They can't pass law. They're not a legislative body, but they are in charge of the taxes and finances for the county, for the whole county, not just the sheriff, but the sheriff does have to work out his budget with them. That's all they have over the sheriff. And so hopefully he can get them on board to pass an ordinance or a resolution that they are a constitutional county and let the world know. And there's some counties doing that. I'm not making this up. That's where I got this from. Mojave County in Arizona is trying to do that right now. They passed a Second Amendment sanctuary ordinance. Now they want them to do for the entire Constitution.
What do you mean ordinance? What's the difference between a resolution or you mean a county had an ordinance?
It's the same thing. Ordinance or proclamation or resolution. Those are all basically the same. They're not laws, but they're statements of local positions and just announce that to the world. If you come in here, you better obey the Constitution. Or we will enforce it. We are enforcing the Constitution in this county. That's already the supreme law of the land. All they're doing is reiterating that. So I think it's a great idea. We're already all supposed to be constitutional counties. You're only doing something very redundant, letting people know we're keeping our word here. Okay?
We're following the law. You want the law for?
Yeah, following the law.
You want the law enforced? Okay, we're going to enforce the law. The number 602-268-9268, 602-268-9268. Everybody out there that's doing this, everybody's looking at this, we are relying on you. We are begging you. I am begging you. Hold your oath. You want to hold America together? This is how you do it. CSPOA.org will help you. Sheriff Mack, absolute pleasure. God bless you, buddy.
Thanks, Daniel. See you soon.
Stay there. Stay there. John Whitehead on the other side.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.